Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, honoring Arbor Day on April 26th, with an ongoing commitment to sustainable stewardship and conservation of Missouri's forests. ChooseWood.com.
Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. The national organization Urban Strategies, Inc. is headquartered in St. Louis, but has a presence in 16 cities across the country. The mission of this nonprofit is to help solve the myriad problems faced by the urban poor. One of the major issues is affordable housing, but the organization is also concerned about economic inequity, education, health issues, and others. Joining me in studio is Esther Shin, the president of Urban Strategies. Great to have you with us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming in. You're calling affordable housing in St. Louis a crisis. How so?
It's a national challenge, actually. You look at the affordable housing challenge, there is a shortage of 7.2 million units of housing across the country. Mm-hmm. And on average, there are 3.5 million individuals that are facing homelessness every year. And about a third of those are children. And that's not unique to St. Louis as well. Yeah. I mean, when you look at the income, the average income and the average wages and the minimum wage, the National Low Income Housing Coalition came out with a study last year that showed that in St. Louis, you would have to work 81 hours a week at a minimum wage to earn a two-bedroom, enough to pay for a two-bedroom apartment that's of quality. And
There's an irony here because I think we've got 12,000 vacant houses in the city of St. Louis. Mm-hmm. So what can be done about this problem?
I think it's a yes and solution. There are multiple layers to the solution. I think that oftentimes in community development, we are forced to choose between either revitalizing struggling communities or pushing residents to neighborhoods of opportunity. And I think that we have to do both. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there is clearly a need for additional hard units, but then also supporting residents to be able to access communities where there are already a lot of opportunities, great schools. You know, there are a number of families, you know, thousands of families in St. Louis that are using housing choice vouchers. They're often limited to those communities because landlords are not renting to them in these neighborhoods of opportunity. So I think that we need to look at the solution really broadly.
So what can Urban Strategies do about this?
So a number of things. You know, I think most significantly, the work that we do is supporting residents in skill building, financial empowerment so that they can actually afford to live in safe, quality, affordable housing. I think that, you know, we need to advocate to ensure that families aren't struggling with the benefits cliff. Oftentimes, our families have to make a tough decision about working or losing their housing benefit.
You mentioned that, and I've come across the word disincentive in connection with what's going on here, a disincentive to work, and that's associated with what we're talking about. How mm-hmm. so?
So, for example, if, you know, San Francisco is a great example with numbers that I can rattle off pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. So our residents in San Francisco, when we started out working there, were making an average of $12,500 a year. Mm-hmm. Where the area median income is over $70,000. So their housing benefit is on average worth about $25,000. So when you take that and add it to their average income, what they're pulling in now, they're actually making more than what they would with minimum wage. So with that, families are having to make that tough decision. Do I work or do I lose my housing benefit and end up homeless? And the simple solution that most people might think is, well, why aren't they working, you know, and earning wages and, you know, people should be working so that they can pay their rent. The reality of it is if the skills and the education background that you have will only allow you at this time to earn a minimum wage, and those jobs just aren't out there to pay you a living wage, that housing benefit is so too valuable to lose.
And even then, there's not much money in the pot to do anything with.
Exactly. So families are now being housing burdened, and housing burden is where you're spending over 50% of your household income on housing. And we're seeing more and more families that are facing being housing burdened.
And this leads to so many other things. It leads to, we had a program yesterday on food insecurity and hunger. There are health issues that are involved when you have limited income like that. And that's all part of your purview, isn't it, in terms of concerns?
Yes, absolutely. You know, when the benefits formula was first calculated, it was assumed that families would, out of their paychecks, most immediately pay for food. The reality of it is if you don't have shelter, food might be a secondary issue to housing. And so we're very concerned with that. And we're concerned with making certain that families have access to all of their needs, whether it be economic or social, so that their families can thrive.
You know, you think of how many problems could be solved if we could eliminate poverty.
Right.
You just go right down the list and just about all the issues and crises that we face.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of grant money that's been floating around, if I can put it that way, over the last couple of years, and you've been involved in some of that. How is that money? Where is it coming from, and how is it being used?
Multiple places. So the projects that Urban Strategies were involved with, you know, Choice Neighborhoods, that is a program out of the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. It's a comprehensive program that's looking at people, so all the human capital needs, whether it be economic mobility, financial empowerment, physical, mental health. And then there's the housing component, which is the bricks and sticks. And then the third is neighborhood, which encompasses all the things that would cause you or I to choose a neighborhood and where we choose to live. So those are schools, that's green space, that's access to fresh produce. And that is being funded by HUD.
Are you confident that dollars from the federal government will continue? I mean, there are some problems at the national level in terms of distribution of dollars.
Yes, the government shutdown definitely impacted our families. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of scary for about a month there. I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see what this new Congress does, you know, with the new diversity that's in office. What we've seen on the housing side, although from the feds and HUD, is we have not seen a significant cutback. I wouldn't say there could always be more growth, but at least on the housing side, we've not seen significant shrinkages. Which is hugely beneficial.
Vis-a-vis your relationship with HUD, I mean, I have to look at the way that is being run right now. I think we still have a neurosurgeon in charge. In charge of that office. What about concerns or optimism or lack of it you might have about this continuing to function the way that's helpful to you?
Sure. Well, we are grateful for are the. The federal employees, the long-term federal employees that have been working there through many administrations and know the ins and outs of community transformation, those are the individuals that we have really relied on to get the work done. These are our grants officers. These are, you know, some of the sort of middle management staff that have really helped us push local agenda forward.
How does St. Louis stack up compared to the other cities that Urban Strategies is involved with?
So it's really different. Each community is very different, but they all struggle with some of the same things around economic mobility. You know, all of our parents, no matter whether it be New Orleans or San Francisco or St. Louis, all of our parents really want quality education for their children. They want to go to work. Even when work is a disincentive, it's because of the choice, but they want to go to work. So many of our neighborhoods are struggling with similar things. But the assets here in St. Louis is that there's high collaboration. We have incredible partners that are at the table. That includes both on the public and the private side that have really supported and helped us leverage resources to get on the ground families.
You know, I think there's something of an inferiority complex here in St. Louis. We tend to think that we're not doing as well as others, but I guess what you're saying is that we're doing okay as well as we can be.
Absolutely. I think St. Louis definitely has more assets than I think that national folks realize and local folks. I think there are a great wealth of assets here, whether it be in the anchor institutions, the collaboration. I mean, that's not to say that we don't have work that needs to be done, but I think that there are some really strong bones here.
Yeah. Well, I want to keep it in the city for just a moment, and I'm going to bring in Max, who's calling from Veronica Park. And we'll get him into the conversation, and I'll invite others as well if you'd like to be a part of it. 382-8255 is the number. That's 382-TALK. Send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org or send us a tweet at STL on air. So, Max, come on in. You're part of the conversation.
Yeah, good morning. Good afternoon at this point. Okay. The crisis, the economic crisis of 10 years ago really hurt this town. I mean, we always think about the middle class and the upper middle class and the stereotypes of people that had several houses for investments, et cetera, et cetera. But all I know is I look around my neighborhood and I saw people who lived in houses for over 20, 25 years all of a sudden gone. And yeah, I'm kicking dead horses here and crying over spilt milk, but that is a realization that I'm frustrated that my city politicians were not angry enough about that. Bank of America was involved in some of them crimes. And another problem is we've got vacant houses in the city. Some of them are far gone. They cannot be repaired.
Max, I think we have the point, and we've got to get a response to some of that. You've given us a lot to chew on, but thanks for the call. What do you think? He makes some points.
So, you know, these challenges did not happen overnight, right? And they're not going to be cured overnight as well. It's going to take the will of elected officials. It's going to take the will of the civic community, the corporate community. This is the affordable housing crisis, you know, came about as a result of a number of policy issues and challenges. We're going to have to collectively work together to address this. I mean, there are multiple players that need to be involved.
What do you make of this dollar house program that is now taking place in the city? For a buck, you can buy a house. Sounds pretty good, except...
So, you know, on the surface, I think that, you know, that seems like an easy solution to addressing vacant housing issues. You know, vacant land or property that's sitting there dilapidated it causes more of a problem. I would be concerned that the individuals that are buying the properties are ensuring that they are built quality, that they are ensuring that they stay affordable, so that individuals aren't getting priced out of their communities, and that these individuals that are buying are also working very closely with the communities to see and find out what their vision is for some of these vacant properties. Mm-hmm. So, again, it's got to be very community-oriented.
And what I should point out for folks who aren't familiar with the program, you can buy the house for a dollar, but you have to guarantee that you're going to rehab it and get it in shape. But then you want to sell it to somebody. And the people who need the housing most have an issue with credit. In order to buy a house, you have to have a decent credit rating.
Yes.
How do you get them credit solvent, if you will?
There are some great partners here in St. Louis that provide that kind of support. On the near north side, we're working with Prosperity Connection and the Excel Center, who are doing a lot around building the financial capacity of our families. This is through one-on-one financial mentoring. This is through the building of assets, whether it be, you know, building your financial credit history, making certain that you have access to assets, whether it be through earned income tax credit. So there are a number of really great local partners that are working with families on this very issue.
But if you're making minimum wage, mm-hmm. and what does that turn out to be, $15,000 or $16,000 a year, can you have any kind of a credit rating that would enable you to make that kind of a purchase with that kind of an income?
No. It would be really challenging on a minimum wage to be able to purchase a home in St. Louis or in anywhere. Mm-hmm. But to improve an individual household's credit, that's in a lot of ways cash in hand. I mean, this could influence things like your ability to get lower premiums on your car insurance, your ability to get a cell phone. So even though you might not be ready to purchase a home today, mm-hmm. and we would have to work with you to increase your household income, improving your household credit is never a bad idea.
I don't quite understand how you can work with people to increase their household income.
So some individuals are underemployed, right? Mm-hmm. So skill building. There are a number of job training partners out there that we could, where we could build skills. There are also, you know, underemployed individuals who, you know, may be looking for a different kind of career that's going to pay more. And so we work very closely with individuals to identify that household's economic goals, and oftentimes and usually it involves employment.
Right. I'm going to have to take a break. We have a number of people who have called in and want to get on the air. We'll bring them in, but let's take that break first so we won't be interrupted. We're talking with Esther Shin, who is the president of Urban Strategies, Inc. We'll continue the conversation in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, honoring Arbor Day on April 26th, with an ongoing commitment to sustainable stewardship and conservation of Missouri's forests. Choosewood.com.
Now back to our conversation with Esther Shin. Let's go right to the phones. A number of people want to talk to you, Esther, so let's let them have at you. We'll begin with Philip calling from St. Louis City. Go ahead, Philip. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Don. The one thing I wanted to say to your guest is I never hear these groups that are, you know, that are for affordable housing. I never hear them talk about building smaller housing. I mean, really small housing. We have a lot of talk today about the building the tiny house movement, and I think if you want to build affordable housing, you should go to that room. And you know, because I don't want taxpayers paying for other people's housing. So that's people that are on public assistance. Let them stay in really tiny houses or build tiny houses for them. And if they want bigger housing, let them save up and then go to buy the house that they want. But until then, I think tiny, perhaps modular houses are, you know, are the way to go. And they can expand them, add another unit or something like that, just like you would add an addition onto your house.
Philip, you have the idea. Thanks for the call. Go small, Esther.
So I think that's a fascinating idea that many cities are exploring. I would say to Philip that you know, this whole perception of, you know, this public assistance going to families that aren't working, that's a misconception. Over 60% of our families work, and so it's just that they're struggling, right? And then many of the remaining 40% are individuals that are elderly, that have, you know, mental health issues, developmental issues that are making it really hard for them to work full time. So the reality of it is the majority of the families that are living in assisted housing are working.
Where did this perception come from, I wonder, that poor people don't want to work?
So I think it's one that has been around for decades. I think that there was an intentional movement to put a face to welfare, and that this perception that the welfare mom exists, it's an unemployed woman with multiple children and not taking care of them. The reality of it is that households are shrinking across the board, and that includes families that are struggling. Like I said, 60% of our families are working, so we're talking about the working poor at this point.
You know, I think back to Ronald Reagan and the welfare queen comments that he made. I think that's exactly what you're talking about, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, back to the phones. Ron is joining us from Ferguson. Ron, thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Hey, I just wanted to put a couple public policy comments. As a landlord and a person who started out right out of college developing a house that I got from HUD, it set me on a good path. So my thing is that, number one, you need home training for these low-income people to actually be able to maintain the house once they get it. We need to teach them how to renovate their own house. You can almost cut the cost by 50% if they can do most of the work themselves. It'll probably take them less than a year to do a home, and they will be set for life. And then we must get young people in careers while they're in high school and middle school. There's a shortage of tradespeople. There's a shortage of programmers. There's a shortage of machine operators, nurses, police, EMTs, mechanics, and you can go on. These jobs are going unfilled, and they pay, you know, anywhere from $20 to $40 an hour. So we should be training people at a young age so they'll be able to afford their own housing.
Ron, thank you for the call. That fits right in with your job skills platform, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I would agree with everything that was just stated. purchasing a home is not for everyone, and there are a lot of steps to be able to purchase a home, not just being able to have the cash in hand, being able to support the cost for repairs, being able to keep up with a home. There's a lot of maintenance. As a homeowner myself, I wonder if I want to stay a homeowner, given all of the things that could, disastrous things that could potentially happen as being a homeowner. So again, there are multiple organizations in St. Louis that are supporting residents and getting this kind of training. And then to the second point about young people and careers, absolutely. In addressing these issues, whether it be affordable housing or getting more income into the home, there are multiple levels, right? There are the individuals that, you know, maybe didn't graduate. We have to help them on a path that gets some income into the home. When we talk about young people, the ages of the youth opportunity age, you know, 18 to 24, and even slightly younger, preparing them for the world of work or for preparing them for post-secondary education. I think there are multiple levels here. And, you know, this is when we talk about young people and careers, this is where we really need the support of the business community in terms of mentoring and helping us prepare these young people for these open positions.
Where are we in relation to trade schools and vocational training in our schools? Used to be you'd go to a high school and you could take a vocational training course. I don't think they're out there anymore.
Yes, we're definitely seeing a shrinkage in those kinds of programs. But there are, again, great programs here in St. Louis when you look at places like Rankin that are providing that kind of training, providing that kind of expertise to young adults and adults that are interested in that field of work.
Yeah. In your job skills training, what exactly do you do and how do you do that?
So we don't actually do the jobs training. We partner with. So we are responsible for finding out what existing skills are in the community, what are the wishes and desires, what are the career goals, and then looking to a city's industry, where are those industries that are hiring today, and then how do we get our residents connected to those job training partners that are providing those kinds of skills?
And what kinds of skills do you find here in St. Louis that, as you study it?
The big industries right now are health, right? We've got some amazing health institutions here, so obviously in health. And so then there are entry points. But then how do we move residents from entry points and keep moving them up within those health institutions? So, you know, that's a really big one. And then there is construction, but that's very seasonal, and that's sensitive around, you know, union challenges, but construction is another big field where, you know, residents are very interested because it pays well.
Yeah. How do you find the people who need to take advantage of these services, or do they find you?
Both. Uh-huh. You know, we do outreach. Mm-hmm. We do an extensive amount of outreach, and people also find us. And what we have found is that just because what we have to dig and we have to be really creative, because the reality of it is that we might throw a job fair and a handful of people show up. The job fair might not be the solution. So what is the next potential solution, right? So outreach is extensive. It has to be creative, and it doesn't end with just one activity or idea.
We have another caller. Let's bring James from St. Louis into the conversation. James, thanks for your patience. You're on the air.
Yeah. Good afternoon, Don and Esther, and thank you for the informative program. I represent a company, Clean Energy Design, that's working in North City, and we work in renewable energy and green infrastructure and do jobs training. I concur with the previous caller in the sense of the construction trades going wanting, and life skills necessary to fill those trades, I think, is the first and foremost step there, which I'm sure Esther's fully aware of. But my question is, with the current activity and political activity in the State House and nationally, we have obviously a data-driven crisis for unaffordable housing right now. And all the talks that I hear out of our state Congress is cutting things like affordable tax credits so that we're able to try to ameliorate the problem versus making it worse. And I wanted to know what Esther's view on reaching across the aisle and getting bipartisan agreement that there actually a problem exists to solve and moving forward.
So traditionally, housing has been very much a bipartisan issue. I think that on both sides of the aisle, most people can agree shelter is a critical, if not the most basic need. So I think we start there and then go to the data. I think that people would be surprised when you look at when you look across the state, that affordable housing is a challenge. It is not only a challenge in St. Louis City. It is not only a challenge in St. Louis County. There are also rural communities that are facing affordable housing challenges as well. And that this crisis needs to be something that's unifying, that doesn't pit city against county, doesn't pit urban versus rural. I think it's, you know, if I was to put the data forth in front of folks across both sides of the aisle, I think they would be really surprised at the expanse of the challenge.
How we only have about a minute left, but how far is your reach? I mean, I know you're in 16 states, but there are people listening from the Metro East, for instance, who have the same kinds of issues that we're talking about in the city of St. Louis.
Absolutely. You know, we just received a Choice Neighborhoods planning grant in partnership with the East St. Louis Housing Authority to look at Samuel Gompers and the surrounding community. They're facing similar challenges around housing, around access to real economic opportunity. And so we're seeing that as a real opportunity to hopefully address one community's housing challenges.
I'm sure you have a website where people can get more information about Urban Strategies, Inc. and what you do and how
Absolutely.
To contact you. We'll put a link to your website on our website at stlpublicradio.org.
Thank you so much.
Esther Shin, I want to thank you so much for being with us
to
St. Louis on the Air, and keep up the good work. Obviously, there's a need, and as Henry Kaiser said, find a need and fill it, and that's what he did, and that's what you're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, honoring Arbor Day on April 26th, with an ongoing commitment to sustainable stewardship and conservation of Missouri's forests. ChooseWood.com.